That man in the red shirt in the aisle, that's Mark Seglio. He's at church tonight. Oh, let's thank the Lord for that, shall we? Father, we thank you for bringing Mark here. And such an ordeal that he has been through, and yet he's remained faithful. Lord, thank you for carrying him through it. Thank you for giving Mary also the strength and faith. Lord, we just rejoice with them. We're so happy. And Father, we pray your continued healing upon him as he completely recovers from this procedure. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord, and answering them. And now, Father, I pray that you would give us insight into your word. Lord, make us aware of all that is available to us as your people. Not just in theory, but practically, in everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14 tonight. No, I don't think it's Sunday. I haven't got that mixed up. There's going to be a little overlap between Sundays and Thursdays for a bit. John chapter 14. A very prominent leader in the church recently said that the average church member's understanding of the Holy Spirit is so vague it's nearly non-existent. That's quite a statement. And that's a big problem if it's true. And so before we begin tonight, I'd just like you to consider for a moment, what is your understanding of the Holy Spirit? And how does the Holy Spirit relate to a Christian? Tonight, we're going to look at everything that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in his upper room discourse. And we start in verse 16 of John chapter 14. Notice what Jesus says. Speaking to the disciples, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be what? In you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper. And this is the Greek word parakletos, which is, it's very hard to find an English equivalent. It's a word that's translated helper or counselor or comforter or advocate. Parakletos. Para means to come alongside, and kaleo means to call or to summon. The Holy Spirit is a helper who comes alongside you to help you. If you need counseling, the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and counsels. If you need comfort, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and gives you comfort. If you need advocacy, the Holy Spirit comes alongside you and is your advocate. In what any area of life that you need help as a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit comes right alongside you to help you. And he's a very big help, isn't he? I've told you before and joked about it that I'm very challenged when it comes to home repair projects. I am not a handyman. Something breaks in my house and I give it my best shot. You know, I go find the YouTube videos and I try to fix it, and I usually make it worse than it was to begin with. And so quite often I'll get on the phone and I'll call up one of my friends or somebody, even a brother here at the church, and I'll say, hey, can you give me some help? And isn't that a wonderful thing when somebody who knows what they're doing helps you, takes you by the hand, and helps you? Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit of God is your personal helper to come right alongside your life and help you. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another helper. And I want you to understand what's going on with that, because it's very, very significant. There are two Greek words that are translated another in English. There's the Greek word heteros, which means another of a different kind. And then there's the Greek word allos, which means another of the same kind. Let me give you a little illustration so that you can kind of understand the difference between the two. Let's say you have a friend and he lets you borrow his car. It's a brand new Mercedes. And you're out having a great time and you wreck it. You total it. And you say to your friend, I'm going to get you another car. And so you bring him a 1975 bright yellow Ford Pinto. Heteros, another car, but of a different kind. Now, if you tell your friend, I'm going to go get you a brand new Mercedes, the exact same model to replace, that's allos, another car of the same kind. And allos is the word that's used here. What Jesus is saying is that the Holy Spirit will be a helper to you just like me. You have a helper who is of the exact same quality, on the exact same level as Jesus himself. Think of that. In fact, Jesus is basically saying of the Holy Spirit, he will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. What's being said here is exactly the way that Jesus walked with his disciples on those roads long ago. In exactly that same way, the Holy Spirit walks with us. The Holy Spirit literally brings Jesus to your life. Think of that. In fact, it's been said that we have better access to Jesus today than people did when he was physically present on the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. When you read the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, he was always surrounded by crowds, wasn't he? It was hard to get at him. It was hard to see him. You remember the story of the woman who waited for him to pass by and ran at him and dove at him and touched the hem of his garment as he passed by? Or what about Zacchaeus when Jesus went to go visit Jericho? You remember Zacchaeus was a little guy. He couldn't see. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. Do you remember that? Just to see Jesus passing by. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come out of that sycamore tree. I'm coming to your house to dinner tonight. You couldn't get access to Jesus. We have better access to Jesus through the Holy Spirit right now, today. Another helper, just like Jesus. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And we see very clearly, it says at the end of verse 16, that the Holy Spirit will abide with you, how long? Forever. And then at the end of verse 17, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will dwell with you and will be in you. You have the Holy Spirit with you forever. And if you are a born-again Christian, The Holy Spirit lives inside you. The Helper, just like Jesus, lives in you. The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside you. That is the truth of the New Testament. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, my brother and sister in Christ, please don't let that just be head knowledge. Think of that. Think of the resource. Think of who lives in you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, man, that's what makes Christianity supernatural. William Arthur, old English preacher of the 19th century, said, "A religion without the Holy Spirit, though it had all the ordinances and all the doctrines of the New Testament, would certainly not be Christianity." I agree with that. Tim Downs said, "Watches, cars, and Christians can all look chromed and shiny, but watches don't tick, cars don't go, and Christians don't make a difference without insides. And for a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Helper, with you and in you." And it is absolutely supernatural. The way I see it, every day we're walking down the roads in Jerusalem, just like they did, with Jesus, his presence with you, in you. Never forget that. I also like it here that it says in verse 16, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper." I love that word, give. The Holy Spirit's a gift. A gift. Think how generous our God is. He gives his Son, and the Son gives his life, that you and I might be given salvation. He saves us, he washes away all of our sins, and then he gives us his Spirit to come into our lives. What an amazing God we have. And what amazing resources are available. Do we walk in that? Okay, look down at verse 25, same chapter. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will" what? "Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So listen to this. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's an instructor. And he's a teacher of the same quality, the exact same quality as Jesus. Jesus was a great teacher, wasn't he? The Holy Spirit is a teacher just like him. And the Holy Spirit is a reminderer of truth. And so the promise here is that Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach those apostles all truth and remind them of the words that he had spoken. Now that's very, very important. That explains how we got the New Testament. You realize that? Jesus taught the disciples a lot of things, but you can read even in the Gospels that they didn't get it all, did they? There were many times they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And then there were times where they did understand what Jesus said, but later on when Jesus ascends to heaven, you could forget what Jesus had said, the words. Well, at the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the Holy Spirit taught those early leaders of the church all things of truth and reminded them of all the words that Jesus had said. The faith was formulated under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these guys did what? They wrote. Matthew wrote Matthew. John wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Book of Revelation. Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. James and the rest. Those early church leaders were taught truth by the power of the Holy Spirit and remembered all of those words that Jesus had spoken and wrote it down, and it's because of them that we have our New Testament scriptures, produced under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." You could also say it this way. Prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this promise is a unique promise to the apostles, those early leaders. It's how the canon of Scripture was formulated, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's still a promise for you and I. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, your tutor, your instructor, your guide. You know, schools talk about having a low student-to-teacher ratio, right? The lower the ratio, the better for the student. Why? Because they have more individual access to the teacher. And then there are students that will hire private tutors, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 hours a week. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is available to you personally all the time? All the time. To teach you, to instruct you, to give you truth. Now, He's not going to give you a new book of the Bible. That canon is closed. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? He illuminates the Word. He helps you to understand it. Gang, listen. A Christian with nothing but a Bible and a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Wow. Look out. I promise you, as you read the whole Holy Scripture, depending upon the Holy Spirit, prayerfully, He will teach you. He will guide you. You will learn truth. And not only that, He will help you to apply the truth of God's Word to daily living, the way you're living your life, every aspect, every detail. I told you earlier that I'm challenged when I try to do a home repair project. I'm also challenged directionally. Kim will tell you this, and I feel bad to say this because guys take pride in never getting lost. I get lost when I drive all the time, or at least I used to. I never know how, I can't remember how I got anywhere. The greatest invention, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 20 years was Google Maps. On my, isn't it cool? You put in the address, and this nice lady tells you to go down here, and they don't say go south or north. That would confuse me. Take a right. Take a left. It's the greatest invention ever. In a real sense, the Holy Spirit is like your spiritual Google Maps. He's the one who will take you through life by the hand, literally wanting to direct your life. Oh, please understand that. Please, please know what's available to you. And not just head knowledge. He will also bring remembrance of truth to you. The Holy Spirit is so good at that. I mean, as you're spending time in the Word and as you're getting it, He'll remind you throughout the day. So maybe you're going about your day and a temptation comes your way and a scripture will pop into your head. And you'll have a way out of that temptation. Or maybe you're living your life and there's somebody who has a question, who needs some advice, who needs some counsel, something that they're going through in life. And you have a word from the Holy Spirit. From the Word, the truth. Or maybe you're going to witness. Maybe you have an opportunity to witness. And they have a question and you're not so sure, but the Holy Spirit brings up that truth, causes you to remember. Or maybe you're on the hot seat as a Christian. Maybe you're being persecuted. Maybe you're in a situation where you're finding yourself trying to stand for Jesus against a hostile crowd. Maybe you're being cornered. You know, the apostles would be cornered. They would end up going to prison, standing before magistrates. Jesus told them in Luke chapter 12, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That's the Holy Spirit. Teaching you, leading you, bringing truth to remembrance. It's beautiful. Look over at chapter 15 and go all the way to the last two verses of John chapter 15. Look at verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of whom? Me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now here we get into mission critical for the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does in the church age on this planet. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He testifies of Jesus. He points people to Jesus. He seeks to convince people of who Jesus is and their need for Jesus. He is a witness pointing people to Jesus. Okay, now check this out. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. And in verse 27, Jesus says to the apostles, you also will bear witness because you've been with me. So the Holy Spirit's main purpose is to testify of Jesus. And Christians, that's our main job, is to testify of Jesus. In fact, I want you to stay with me. Right before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives his apostles that great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's a pretty tall task. Go out into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. Also, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave this word to them in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You remember the Spirit was poured out upon them in the upper room, those 120 first disciples. They were filled with power. They could speak in tongues. Peter gets up and starts to preach. 3,000 people get saved. They become these radical, empowered witnesses of Jesus Christ used mightily by the Spirit. All that to say this, Christian, listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit wants to testify of Jesus through you. And I will tell you right now tonight, the Holy Spirit is seeking to make you an effective witness of Jesus Christ. He is absolutely committed to making you a bold, trained, mature, effective, fruitful witness for Jesus Christ. The helper like Jesus, the teacher like Jesus, living inside you, is committed to you becoming the most effective witness that you can be. Think of that. And he will train you. He will equip you. He will use you. That should fill us with a lot of courage, shouldn't it? As witnesses, you know, I know a lot of Christians, they're kind of afraid to witness for Jesus. They don't want to live out loud for Jesus. And, you know, we do live in a culture it's getting much harder to stand for Jesus, isn't it? But did you know that the Holy Spirit will make you bold to stand? And will literally give you words and wisdom to say as you witness? You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they don't want to witness because they're afraid they don't know the answers. They don't know what they're going to say. How do we explain it? Well, listen very carefully. Spend some time with your Bible and the Holy Spirit and begin to learn what to say. Learn the gospel. Get the answers to the questions that are asked. Work on your personal testimony. God will use you. The Holy Spirit is committed. He is committed to empowering you to witness. Have you ever led someone to Jesus Christ? You ever had that joy? Nothing like it. Where the Holy Spirit uses you. He will use you. Ask him to. Do it by faith. I have found that the hardest words to speak are the first. And right after you get that first word out, which is usually, then the Holy Spirit takes over. I have been utterly amazed at the words that have come out of my mouth when I'm trying to witness to somebody. It is amazing where the Holy Spirit will steer you. And the truth that he will bring to your remembrance. He's committed to that. Absolutely committed to that. Okay, look at John chapter 16. Look at verse 7. Jesus still speaking to his disciples. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said it was to our advantage that he leave earth. Because when he leaves, he'll send the Holy Spirit. Now, how's that to our advantage? Again, we all have better access to Jesus today. Jesus, the Helper, lives right in us. It's not one Jesus walking around localized on planet Earth. It's a whole group of Spirit-filled Christians all over the planet. Jesus walking with them. Oh, man. And you're one of them. It's incredible. Okay, verse 8, he says, when he has come, he will, what's the word? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay. The Holy Spirit is a helper. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a testifier. And the Holy Spirit is also a convictor. He convicts. Again, this is another Greek word that's hard to get an English equivalent. It's translated convict. It's also translated convince. In one sense, it's a word that speaks of exposing something, making something understandable to somebody. The Holy Spirit goes throughout all of the world trying to make truth understandable to people. And then there's also that sense in the world, in the word, where the Holy Spirit is going to show people where they are wrong, proving people wrong, convicting them of errors in thinking, to get them to come around and see what the truth is. Now, we're told right here that this is what he does in the world. He's going out and he's convicting the entire world, everybody, all four corners of the earth. The Holy Spirit is at work convicting this world of sin. Sin. That's what's wrong with the human race. The human race fell into sin. Sin is destroyed. And the Holy Spirit is going around. That's the problem, sin. The Holy Spirit is also convicting everyone in this world of righteousness, the need for righteousness. Righteousness speaks of the moral standards of God, the perfect standards of God. The Holy Spirit is saying that we need to be perfect like God. We need to be righteous like God. And yet there's no way we're righteous, right? We're being convicted of that. And then the Holy Spirit also convicts everyone all over the planet of judgment. That's what it says. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. A final judgment is coming when all will stand before God and give an account. The Holy Spirit is seeking to put that on everybody's heart. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is attempting to convince and convict all people everywhere of sin, of their need for perfect righteousness, and of the judgment that awaits should they not get right with God. And he's doing that. And then, of course, the ultimate result of that is that people will come to Jesus, because then the Holy Spirit also testifies of Jesus. And how he's the solution. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. And faith in him gets all of your sins forgiven. And you become righteous in Jesus. And then you don't have to fear the coming judgment. You're saved. You're a child of God. The gospel. In a nutshell, the gospel. The Holy Spirit. Convicting the world. It's trying to make sure that the truth of the gospel is understandable, is exposed. Seeking to convince or convict people of their wrong thinking. The thinking that says, well, I can be righteous on my own. I can be a good religious person. And that'll get me to heaven. That's wrong thinking. You can't. The Holy Spirit would say, don't think that way. You can't be righteous. You can't be perfect. Jesus was. He died for you. Place your faith in him. You become righteous in Christ. Not because you are, but because of who Christ is and what he's done for you. That's what he's seeking. And the Holy Spirit, I do believe, does that through his church. And so that is one of the biggest responsibilities that we have as a church. Preach the gospel. Talk about sin, righteousness, judgment, what Christ has done. So once again, the goal, the mission of the Holy Spirit is also the mission of the church. And it is the Holy Spirit in us that empowers us to do it effectively and boldly. So go do it, right? By the way, I read this. I really do read this as this is something that the Holy Spirit is doing. I believe the Holy Spirit is plowing ground in the hearts of people all around you. I believe the Holy Spirit is seeking people, knocking on doors, plowing ground. So I like to think of that when I'm going to witness to someone. I like to think, hey, man, this is a setup. The Holy Spirit's already been working with this person. And I just need to find that little... Think of it that way. Let the Holy Spirit use you. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. Right? Look out into the fields. The harvest is plentiful. All that's lacking is what? Laborers. That's it. People that want to go out there and pick. The harvest is plentiful. Just go out there in the power of the Holy Spirit and you will see God will use you. And the more he uses you, the more addicted to it you'll get. And the more courageous you'll get. And the more bold you'll get. Okay. Look at verse 12. Still here in John chapter 16. Jesus says to the disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So again, here he says the Holy Spirit will be your guide, your teacher. I've had many things to say to you guys, he says to the disciples, that you can't bear right now, but later on you will, and you'll write scripture. Again, we see that principle. And again, it's also true for us. He's our guide. The Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide. I find it interesting at the end of verse 13 that Jesus says, he will tell you things to come. I like that. What is that? What are things to come? Prophecy. The Holy Spirit, when he came, would cause the disciples to remember the teachings of Jesus, like Matthew 24, where Jesus answers the question, what will be the signs of the end of the age? Prophetic. John will later write the book of Revelation, which gives us a preview, a picture of how things are going to end. So I believe the Holy Spirit is very interested in prophecy and will give you insight into prophecy as you study prophecy in God's word. He will tell you things to come. It's another work of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 14, so important. Jesus says that he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify whom? Me. Now, I hope you have noticed as we've gone through this upper room discourse, the Holy Spirit is fixed on whom? On Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job to testify of Jesus, to convict the whole world of their need for Jesus. And here it says that the job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, literally, exalt him, magnify Christ. That's what he does. It's almost like the Holy Spirit likes to operate below the radar. He doesn't want to be exalted. He doesn't want attention. He doesn't want to be the concentrated focus of the church. He puts his attention where? On Christ. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Now, I think that's very important to understand. Is the Holy Spirit important? Yes. We need him. We should walk and spend our lives conscious of him. But the purpose of our life is not to exalt the Holy Spirit. It's to exalt Christ. Everything's about pointing to Christ. There are some Christians and some Christian congregations that I think give too much attention to the Holy Spirit. Everything's about the Holy Spirit. And they look for all the operation of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, exalt the Holy Spirit. They magnify the Holy Spirit. They point all of this attention to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit saying, take all that attention and direct it towards Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. He's the means by which people get saved. So he's glorified. All of the miraculous, all of the miracles of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of that power is meant to make us witnesses. For whom? For Jesus. Point to him. The power of the Holy Spirit is inside you to testify of Jesus and to glorify Jesus. And so we should do that. So, kind of just go through a summary list of what we've learned. The Holy Spirit is an incredible gift from God to you personally as a Christian. He's been given to you. He is with you forever. He lives in you. He is your personal helper, comforter, counselor, advocate. He's your trainer, your teacher, your instructor, the one who brings truth to remembrance in your life. He is your guide. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus right to your life. You have greater access to Jesus now than they had back then. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus in the world. He convicts the world of their need for Jesus. He glorifies Jesus, and he is seeking to make you, personally, the most effective witness that you can possibly be for Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He's available to each one of us every single day. You know, the New Testament tells us as Christians not to walk by the flesh, but to walk by whom? By the Spirit. And you know what that means? Live life day by day, hour by hour. I would suggest even moment by moment. Depending upon the Holy Spirit. Aware. Leaning on him. Listening for his voice. And he will use you in mighty ways. Oh, what if every Christian did that every day? But why do we forget? Why do we forget? The giftings that he gives us, the callings. I have a glove here in my hand. This glove can't do anything by itself. Look, it just flops around. When I put my hand in it, the glove can do all kinds of things. Check it out. True, it's not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. The Christian is a glove. It is the Holy Spirit in us, the hand, who does the work. And we have to make room for the hand so that every finger in that glove gets filled. Amen. Oh, let's pray for that. Father, I do pray for that. Lord, I pray that we would not lose sight of the amazing supernatural gift that you have given to us. And I do pray, Lord, that as your people, we would walk in dependence upon your Spirit. Empower us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would make us conscious every day of the presence of your Spirit in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would cooperate with your Spirit, that we would be sensitive to your Spirit, that we would hear your Spirit. I pray that your Spirit would make your word come alive in our lives individually. Lord, I would pray that tonight you would fill your people afresh. Lord, I pray that those who are hurting tonight would be comforted by your Spirit. Those that need direction tonight would be directed by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, help us to remember every day what you're available to us. And then with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, maybe the Holy Spirit has been doing that convicting work in your life. He's been knocking on your door. He's been convicting you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He's been testifying of Jesus. He's been plowing up your heart. Have you opened it? Have you allowed Jesus to come into your life? I want you to have an opportunity right now. Respond. Ask Christ to be your Savior. Become a temple of the Holy Spirit right now. Here's your opportunity. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I freely admit to you, there's no doubt, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I am not righteous. I deserve judgment. And yet I put my faith tonight in you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me, for paying the price for my sins, for dying in my place and rising again. And so I put my faith in you right now. Be my Lord and Savior. Save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the rest of my days on this planet as an effective witness for you. Amen. Let's stand. And Father, as we all stand, we do open our hearts to you and we ask that you would use us in a wonderful way. Fill us afresh. Keep us mindful of you. Amen. We're going to sing this last song. We're going to be up here available.